Saturday, September the 11th, actually began about 1 o'clock. I had arrived at the White House from the Grand Tetons in Denver a little before midnight to find my husband, my supposedly sick husband, to whom I was returning with concern and sympathy, gone to New Orleans to survey the hurricane damage of Betsy. He left this afternoon about 5. He was due back sometime after midnight. There was nobody at all, nobody, that I could ask how he felt or why he went. So I sat down with the accumulated mail and then a book to wait for his return along about 1, looking weary, but talking about nothing but the hurricane damage, checking with departments even at that hour about whether food was being flown in and medicine and cots, and telling of a man who had rushed up to him and said, "I've lost my babies." One was 1 year old, one was 4, and Lennon's face contorted just as the man's had, as though he were about to cry. He said it was horrible. He talked and read until about 2, and finally to sleep, so that it was nearly 10 the next morning when we woke up, gratefully, wonderfully, a Saturday of rest to look forward to. Day by day, the press stories from the Grand Tetons had become less and less beautification and more Brent Eastman. I almost wish I had climbed the Grand Teton itself, topped the Brent story. How cruelly embarrassing for a fine young man who has 3 dates and shows no particular interest except as a friend, and for a young girl who is essentially sensitive, private, and perhaps a trifle unsure. Lucy and Helene Lindo are going along with Anne Hand to chaperone and help select clothes. Lucy came in to say this was the first Saturday night since she was 11 that she hadn't had a date. What a lot of satisfaction that little girl gets from being a girl for about 1 year and 3 months now, since June of 64. She's been totally happy and bubbling, and I, for one, let me count my blessings. Philip Bobbitt has been our house guest for several days. He's at one of those crossroads in life. 2 years ahead of himself in school, he'd played too much at the University of Texas, and after the first term of making excellent grades, had stopped working, come to an impasse. Now here he is on September the 11th, trying to get into either Harvard or Princeton. He's been accepted at Princeton, and he came in to tell us goodbye and thanks for staying here and for the help Lyndon's staff has given him. Jack has been counselor and friend, has somehow managed to open the doors to Princeton to him at this late date, and at the same time to fire Philip's ambition, so that I think he's getting off to it with a good start. He and Lucy gave each other an affectionate hug, and Lucy said they had sat up until 2:30 this morning talking in her own private tower room, the Solarium. Lucy has a most intimate rapport with a wide range of people from 8 to 80. It was a slow and easy day. I did some desk work, which only staggered me, and then, about 4:30, lay down for a long and luxurious nap, waking a little before 7. I called Lyndon to see what he would like to do with the evening. He began to name people he'd like to ask over for dinner. A Saturday evening at 7 o'clock is not exactly the ideal time to plan a dinner party to begin within the hour, but we wound up by having Joe Barrs, he's Undersecretary of the Treasury, the Jean Foleys, 2 young couples from the departments, whom Lyndon looks upon as comers, as very able men, Harry and Clay McPherson, who brought their baby, Peter Baxter, in a basket. He's 2 months old. And also a bag of fresh, homegrown tomatoes. And to my delight, Mike and Mary Ellen Monroney. Mary Ellen is one of the few people around town who consistently ask me places, ask us places. And I was delighted when it was Lyndon's own idea to ask them. One of the most attractive and social couples in the town. They nevertheless seemed real pleased to be with us on this in this spur-of-the-moment fashion. The 10 of us made short work of drinks. Lyndon and his diet means an early dinner, and that is a plus for all of us. And then we had coffee on the Truman balcony, looking out over the lighted fountain, the monument, and the waning moon above the treasury. and then went down to the theater to see The President's Country. For the first time for our guests, and the 24th for me, Peter Baxter MacPherson occasionally announced his presence, and somehow he made his way into the kitchen, where he was properly loved by Zephyr and all the help. What amusing contrast this old house sees. From the sleekly sophisticated guest to the homey guest who arrives with baby in a basket and fresh tomatoes for the evening's meal.